I'm going to repack the interim suitcase. I unpacked, some of you will remember. Let me get wired here. Some of you will remember that I unpacked these symbolic items when I first came here 2 years ago. Now I'm going to repack them to take them home. And they're items symbolic of the interim experience in our congregations. First, I just took these off the wall in my office. These, in addition to being something I enjoy, astronomy, represent change and turmoil and chaos and resolution. In this first one, the Orion Nebula, you see gas clouds that form stars. So it's the birth of stars that takes place in places like this in our universe. And there is the death of a star that is still spewing its gases out, or at least when we look at it, we see into the past that it exploded and the gases are moving out. And they will then become part of the constitution of new stars. So it's a chain, a cycle that goes on and on, just like the cycle of lives in churches. There are changes, but there is always movement, and it's almost like a spiral. We come back to the same place again and again in our journeys, but we're a little further along. So now the interim suitcase must be packed up. And I've got my packing list right here. The last little pieces of what was left in my office. One symbolic item is that one that represents ministry in general and serving a parish. So I use a stole to represent that aspect of ministry, which is ministry, parish ministry is the same really whether you are an interim or a settled minister, but it must be done. And then there is claiming and honoring the past. These are the interim tasks as I presented them to you 2 years ago, and we've been working on all these. Claiming and honoring the past and healing griefs and conflicts. No further explanation is needed on that. The next interim task is illuminating the congregation's unique identity, its strengths and challenges. The next is navigating shifts in leadership that accompany times of transition, a compass to help us navigate. The next is engaging the future with vision, strength, anticipation, and zest. I love those words, especially zest. There's been a lot of zest in working with this congregation. I use a telescope to indicate, to symbolize this task, which when you look at the heavens, you're actually looking back and not forward. But this is symbolic of looking forward to see what's coming at you. This is a commemorative Halley's Comet telescope that was given to me around the time that that comet appeared in the sky. But I think of it as something that gives vision. And vision for the future is what this congregation has been focused on in recent months as you look toward a new minister and a new era in your life together. And then, I missed one. Very important, resources, the making use of resources within and beyond the Unitarian Universalist Association. The UUA has undergone quite a few changes recently, too, and has moved from a district structure to a regional structure, which means that some of our resources are further away. But this congregation is assigned to Jennifer, who is a minister. He lives in Southern California, but if there's anything you need, you can call him, call the regional office, and he will come running from wherever he is and help. And the resources I have used that I need to pack up, the big basics of transitional ministry, which is part of our interfaith training as accredited interim ministers, and then the Janus workbook with the face of the god Janus looking both forward and back is our own denomination's handbook for interim ministry, and then some other resources, one from an interfaith source, temporary shepherds, I guess you could say that's what we are, interims, and a recently published book by our denomination on interim ministry. So it has been really quite an experience to be part of this congregation and to be your interim for these 2 years. And all my tricks of the trade are going home with me and on to my next interim ministry. So, as you can see, I've been packing up my office. I've actually been packing it up for the last month as I get ready to complete this interim ministry. And of course, when you pack up to move, whenever you pack up to move, you will often find a few items that you feel you can part with to lessen your load. So for today's final sermon, I'm holding a metaphorical moving sale. As I have prepared to move on, I have come across a few odds and ends, items in the form of ideas, suggestions, and leftover projects for your future that I want to leave with you. These items are a real bargain, too. The only cost is a bit of your time and energy to make them real. I would once again like to light these five pillar candles representing the five pillars of congregational life. Religious education is one, both for adults and children. Pastoral care is another pillar. Social justice, social concerns is another. Ouch. And a very important pillar that brings us here on Sunday mornings, and a few other times, worship. And then finally, the fifth pillar. These four pillars were designated by a minister who preceded me in one of my interim experiences down in Santa Barbara. But I always felt there was one missing, so I added one more. And some of you may remember my lighting this fifth one. What is it? Community. Absolutely. You're good students. You pass. Community. And the community is really the foundation for all the others. I have very much enjoyed serving as interim minister to this congregation over these past 2 years that seem to have flown by. I have found this to be a very lively group with dedicated, hardworking folks who contribute their unique talents and unique gifts. During my time here, I have worked with the whole congregation and with committees and groups to help tweak your procedures when it seemed appropriate, to improve and expand the functioning of various committees and groups when possible. And the groups and members that I've worked with have all been very open and receptive. We have had some special workshops and other events together that have helped us to focus on interim work, on those five interim tasks that I was talking about in the packing. For example, we had a visioning workshop this past February, a series of cottage meetings in the fall of 2014, and various other meetings and events. And we've actually worked pretty hard together in many of these venues. and in other ways. And I believe that we have covered many aspects of each developmental task of interim ministry along the way. Of course, there is always more in any of these categories that needs to be done. So I'd like to leave you with a few suggestions for strengthening these five pillars of congregational life. Starting with the religious education pillar for our children and adults, there have been two religious education directors in the past 2 years. And looking back over your history, I noted that turnover in religious education directors has presented a problem in recent, at least in the recent past. But the hope is that there will be longer tenures for directors of religious education in the future, beginning with the current director who's here today, Allison. The children's RE program here is small, but it has grown some. And there is a dedicated director of religious education, a dedicated RE council, and many parents and teachers, all of whom are dedicated and contribute to a good program for children here. For adults, we created a new adult religious education committee just this past year, and plans are in the works to offer a world religions class in the fall. That was one of the issues that some of you have said you would really like to have a chance to study more. There are many other adult religious education possibilities that the new committee can work on. So I would say that overall, religious education here is already fairly strong for your size and can be made even stronger. To make sure that it prospers in the years to come, I urge that additional members step forward, people willing to consider teaching children's or adult religious education, or willing to serve on the Religious Education Council for Children's RE, or the new Adult Religious Education Committee chaired by Mileva Saula Lewis. You're here, aren't you? There you are. I thought I saw you. With solid volunteers, I believe RE for children and adults will continue to thrive. The pastoral care pillar is very strong here. This congregation has a compassionate group of people who comprise the pastoral care committee, and it has a much larger network of caring members who stand ready to help members in crisis. A subgroup of pastoral care, the safety committee, is now working with the building committee and others to make the building safer in case of fire and to be ready to step in even if there is a medical emergency with training and the use of a defibrillator and other first aid measures being planned. And so that is another service that has just started, really. The pastoral care committee hasn't done that before but has branched into this area of concern. It's clear to me, and has been from the beginning, that people here care very deeply for one another. The worship pillar is also a very strong pillar. When I arrived, I found a very competent worship committee and skilled, creative worship associates who work with the minister on services and who also provide services when the minister is off. I caution you to be mindful. Worship in our Unitarian Universalist communities is fluid, quite fluid. There will be changes in worship over time, especially as your new minister brings her ideas and skills and preferences into the mix. So as the song we sang together says, don't be afraid of some change. There will be change. The social concerns pillar. Often during an interim period, the congregation and the minister are mostly focused internally, working on issues that are related to the functioning, the structure, and the health of the congregation. We have focused on many internal issues, but even during this interim time, this congregation has continued or enhanced its outreach into the community in many ways. We've had continued collections for local charitable organizations, and other organizations that are not local, with the choices vetted by the Peace and Justice Committee. And that committee has also held film discussions at the Castro Valley Public Library and has worked in other ways to keep social justice issues in the foreground. Other committees that have worked on social justice or social concerns are the Anti-Racism Multicultural Committee, which brought to the board and the congregation a resolution supporting the Black Lives Matter movement, which the congregation passed unanimously last fall. The Anti-Racism Multicultural Alliance has also held film nights, a book discussion, and a workshop on recognizing and dealing with microaggressions. There's the Green Sanctuary Committee that has continued to put on its annual Earth Day and has overseen some grounds issues. And there can be more social justice committees, but you can also lend your support to the ones that already exist. And in particular, the Peace and Justice can take many different focuses and work on different fronts at the same time. All of these committees have been very active during the past 2 years. And in addition to this, members in this church are also involved in bringing to the congregation interfaith efforts that go on in this community, like South Hayward Parish, serving the homeless, the Eden Interfaith Council, formed in response to, as some of you remember, an unfortunate act of hatred and bigotry against Muslims that happened at Chabot Park, FESCO, Family Emergency Shelter Coalition, and FAME. I have to remind myself what to tell me about
Faith Alliance for Moral Economy.
Faith Alliance for Moral Economy. These are all interfaith efforts that members are very deeply involved with and bring to you, and you can be a part of all of these in various ways. This is actually a pretty rich and varied diet of social concerns efforts for one small congregation. But sometimes, as in other churches, this pillar of church life gets held aloft by the power of a relatively few people out of a whole church. I would urge others among you to consider getting involved in some of these or some new social action efforts. These are the ways that we Unitarian Universalists can live out our shared values and see beyond the walls of the congregation. Then there is the community pillar. The sense of community here is very strong, but there have not been as many opportunities for the whole community to come together as I'm used to seeing in other congregations. You guys are so busy. It's hard to find time to come together as a group. But I would urge you to try to schedule more gatherings for the whole community. More parties, potlucks, picnics, intergenerational events. Have fun together. Don't just work together. Social events help to bond a community together and help to strengthen the sense of being on a shared journey. They also, and very importantly, they also offer newcomers and new members a way in to becoming more involved and more committed. Under the umbrella of community, I would also put fundraising and pledging. Money is perhaps the biggest challenge this congregation faces now, and this is not unusual. Pledging has been up for the past 2 years. And that is remarkable in a transition time, but this momentum will need to be maintained to meet future budgets. We now have volunteers for a renewed fundraising committee, and these people can use help with brainstorming new ideas to raise money in addition to the annual pledge drive, like the mystery dinner and perhaps concerts and other kinds of gatherings that will raise money and also be available to the community. Early on, I noticed that you held a service auction only every other year. So I suggested to the board, trying one every year, as many churches do. And it is now in the budget for a second year in a row. And that's wonderful. And maybe it will continue that way every year. But it will need the efforts of many to make it happen every year. A good side benefit of efforts like these is that they are also fun, and they are community building events. So I hope you will consider volunteering to help when the time comes. I believe this congregation has the potential to grow, even though it's tucked away in a residential area and is hard to find. You can find it more easily now with the new sign that the board has accomplished putting up there that is attractive and easy to read. The membership committee, chaired by Dirk Dino, has developed a good tracking system for newcomers and good procedures for people on the path to membership. The designated greeters are very friendly and welcoming, and newcomers have often told me that they felt warmly received and welcomed. But to get people to visit this church in the first place is a different challenge from nurturing them once they make the decision to visit, and a harder challenge. So I would suggest that you not hide your wonderful light here under a bushel. This is a problem, actually, in most Unitarian Universalist congregations. I've often heard newcomers to UU congregations exclaim with some consternation, "Where the heck have you been all my life?" They didn't know that such a group existed. We need to proclaim that loudly and proudly. We do exist. To serve people, you need to reach out to them and let them know that there is a congregation like this here, a congregation in which people are free to think for themselves about religious questions and beliefs in a supportive community. New people who are attracted to this path will in turn bring much new energy to the congregation. The new website, which has been improved with much work in the background done by Beth Ogilvy and Nancy Harrison and others, this is one way to help seekers find the congregation. It's a major way that it happens these days. Greater visibility in the community might also help. And inviting your own friends to come with you to a Sunday service is a proven way to grow a Unitarian Universalist church. I will bet that many of you were invited in just that way by someone who knew you and thought you might like a place like this. So that's something to continue to do. I'm sure that having a new minister with energy and commitment will greatly help, but remember that she can't do it alone. There is no money set aside in the budget for publicity and outreach, and maybe that can be remedied in the future, and there can be a regular budget for this, even if modest. But there are things that can be done without funds. Open some of your religious education events to people outside the church. Stay connected to outside organizations and make sure that the UU brand is publicized with the rest of them. When something you do is newsworthy, send a press release. Get Rebecca to write an article, as she did with our little free library. Host more events for the larger community. This is a nice place for a relatively modest gathering of people. So host more events like film showings, music events, special lectures, and invite the community to attend them through newspaper and radio announcements, on your website, and even via the old-fashioned way, putting up eye-catching posters around town. It works. In my last congregation, we had actually a member of the congregation is Country Joe McDonald, for those of you who know him, and we created big posters. Every other year or so, he does a fundraising concert for the Berkeley Fellowship. We put those posters everywhere we could think of in Berkeley, and we had a standing room only crowd. Of course, it helped to have Country Joe. Looking ahead into my patented interim's crystal ball, which you must imagine, I see some interesting things on the horizon for Star King Unitarian Universalist Church. You are about to enter a new era in your congregational life. It's always exciting to welcome a new settled minister, and your excitement here is palpable. I have a strong feeling that this congregation is really going to blossom, to grow both outwardly and to deepen. I foresee for you a congregation that has become a significant presence in this community, one that is known for its warmth to newcomers, for its caring for its members, for its social activism and generosity, and its presence as a major player in the still growing interfaith community. This will be a congregation that is known widely as an accepting place where people can come to explore their personal religious journey in a variety of ways without fear of judgment or exclusion. Your future, as I see here in the crystal ball, is really very bright. I have to shade my eyes. And now comes the time for me to say goodbye. The hardest challenge of interim ministry that I have so far discovered is that in interim ministry, goodbye must follow pretty soon after saying hello. And this is very different from what I used to do as a settled minister. When you say hello as a settled minister, you look out over a sea of unknown faces and you realize that you have years to become acquainted, to become part of each other's lives. But as an interim, I've had to get to know you much more quickly and to keep constantly in my mind and in yours that this is temporary, that I will only be with you for a short while. Yet, as an interim, I am always surprised to find that I still feel the deep connections ministers make to those they serve. A retired interim colleague once said that even though you're an interim, you will come to love the congregations you serve, though you know you will be leaving them soon. And I guess it can't be otherwise if one is to be a true minister. In whatever time you have, if you bring your heart and soul into your ministry, you do make deep connections. But then, much more often than do settled ministers, you have to sever those connections to make way for a new minister. As of mid-August, when your new minister arrives, I can no longer be your minister in any way. And following protocol, my future connections with you, especially over the next couple of years, must be strictly limited. It is the habit of us interims to erase our footprints as much as we can. So my sermons should come down off the website, and please, please don't be offended if I unfriend you, when I unfriend you, those of you that I friended on Facebook. We're supposed to be doing this. It's part of a necessary disappearing act as you turn your focus to a new minister. In one of my interim congregations, I was given a cartoon at the beginning by a parishioner. In that cartoon, there's a church sanctuary, and a man in the pew is whispering to a woman next to him, "The minister's a sub, so we're all going to sing the wrong hymn. Pass it on." So, I have been a sub for you, although you never played that trick on me. More accurately, I have been a temp. But I want you to know that when I brought my ministerial heart and soul into this temporary ministry, I filled them up with you. Through all the committee work, in the Sunday services and during social events, in classes and workshops, and the many one-to-one sessions and conversations we've had. I know that you will also warmly welcome the Reverend Maria Cristina when she arrives, as you were so warmly welcoming to me. I will carry into future ministries all that I have learned and received from you. Thank you for all that you have been and all that you have done. You will always remain in my heart and in my memory. I close with words that I used to introduce this interim year when I arrived, this interim 2 years, when I arrived back in 2014, the words of the poet E.E. Cummings. Time is a tree, this life one leaf, but love is the sky, and I am for you just so long and long enough.